Father, we thank you for the way that you provide for us, the things that you give us, the things that you show us. Mostly, Father, for the love and for the attention, for the care and for the promise and the hope that we have in you. We ask for your forgiveness and for your guidance. We ask that you would speak to us today, that we'd have a word right from you to us to encourage us today. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1862, Joseph Gilmore was a young minister, and he was just out of the seminary, and he was looking for a position as a pastor. And not a lot seemed to be available at the moment. There was a minister in Philadelphia, though, who was going to be away from his congregation for a few weeks on a vacation, and so Joseph was asked to come there and to fill in for him for that break. And his first sermon there was preaching on the 23rd Psalm. And his intention was, and just begin at the beginning, go through each verse, and then expound on each thought through that whole section. But he only made it to verse 2. That's as far as he got. He started off well. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside quiet waters. And that's as far as he got. He leadeth me. That thought, that concept, it just hit him very hard. He's 28 years old. He's married. He's finally finished with all of the school and the seminary. There's no position for him. He's looking very hard, but he feels that burden of needing to take care of his family and to serve God at the same time. And he gets to that point, he leadeth me. And he just couldn't get past it. Overwhelmed by it. Remember also, in 1862, this is the darkest period of the Civil War. The nation just seemed to be collapsing upon itself. Joseph's life, his marriage, the nation's life, everything is in a critical moment. After church, Joseph and his wife were invited to the head deacon's house for lunch. And they're sitting there after the meal and they're talking, and the deacon was curious about some of the things that were going on in his life, and he's talking and he's listening, but at the same time he has this piece of paper and he's scribbling. He'll talk a little bit and he starts scribbling, and he had these verses that were stuck in his mind that he just had to put down. And when he was done, he passed them over to his wife. She looked at them and she tucked them away in her bag. Later on, she pulled it out and she liked what he'd written. She wrote it out in a much nicer handwriting and she mailed it to a publisher. And then they didn't hear much about it after that. 3 years later, after a little bit of work here and a little bit there, they were interviewing in a church in Rochester, New York. And the congregation was singing a hymn, and they were all told to turn to the hymn in a brand new hymnal. And they opened up to a number, and Joseph looked and he saw that song that they were going to sing that day was the one that he had written in Philadelphia that afternoon. And it's in our hymnal right now. And I'd like you to look at that, if you would. It's number 537. And let's just sing the first verse of it together. Number 537. Notice how personal that statement is. He leadeth me. Not that he leadeth us, even though that's true as well, but he leadeth me. It's the same way that David phrased it. It's the same way here that Joseph phrases it. Because God revealed to both of these men that salvation is firstly a personal experience. Living as a child of God is not less personal than living as a child of human parents. Hopefully you are very much loved by your mother and by your father, that you grew up in a good home. Your Father in heaven feels closer to you than your earthly parents do, and he loves you more than they do. Your relationship with God is not less personal, it's more personal, more intimate. Because salvation is a personal, individual experience with the Father as well. I know he's very busy trying to save as many of us as possible and throughout all ages, but that doesn't stop him from knowing and loving each one of us, caring about each one of us as an individual. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that Charles Haddon Spurgeon called the foundation upon which our faith rests. The very foundation of our faith. Let's look at that together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, we'll read verses 17 through 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Jesus came, he stood up, he took as a substitute our guilt, our penalty, clearing our path for us back to the Father, with no sins there to condemn us. And here the apostle says that the Father was reconciling us. He was reconciling you to himself. Not to the abstract thought of being reconciled back to heaven or back to his kingdom or back to some system. He was reconciling you to himself individually. Personally reattaching us back to him. To illustrate this point, Jesus went around Israel talking about shepherds and shepherd parables to all the people that came and to hear him. In Jerusalem, where they had great flocks penned up, corralled within the city, Jesus spoke about sheep pens and gates. In our scripture reading this morning that Andy read from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. I'd like to look at part of that again, just verses 2 through 6. John 10, verse 2. Jesus speaking says, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They know his voice. This is the point that I was trying to make a few weeks ago, talking about Psalm 18, verse 6, where David declares, I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. We are the personal, individual children of a God who loves us. When you first begin to pray, he does not need someone to inform him who it is that's on the line. Who is it that is reaching out to him? He hears your voice and he knows, oh, that's my daughter, Marion. Or, oh, that's my boy, Louie. The faith you hold is a personal faith. An impersonal faith is no faith at all. It's just a club membership. The two greatest and strongest branches of Christianity on this planet, churches that serve hundreds of millions of people, declare that they, as church leaders, are acting as a type of big brothers, older brothers for all of us, that they stand between you and the Father in heaven, and that your salvation depends on going through them. Regarding prayer, they also stand there between the Father and between you, saying that their role is to be in that spot and say, I have your son, Chase, right here, and he's sorry for his sins, and he'd like you to please forgive him. And they teach that without that intercession, without that older sibling standing in that place for you and on your behalf, God will not forgive you. What an abomination of the gospel of Christ. What a rejection of the clear teachings of Scripture that Christ is our only intercessor and that the Father hears us with His own ears and that He knows us. He knows us by name and that He leads us personally. Those are not my words. Those are Christ's words. My words mean nothing. But Christ Himself says, He hears us, He knows us, He knows us by name, He knows us intimately in every detail and knows our every need before we even ask. What a betrayal to the honest and good-hearted parishioners under their care that they would paint God with such detachment. He leadeth me with no one in between, with no one needed. The Lord communicates with us directly. And as Christ pointed out, you know His voice. Maybe you don't think you do, but you do. His voice is the one that speaks right to your heart when you've done something quite wrong. It's urging you to make it right. And it's that same voice when you have done something that is very kind for some other poor soul on this earth. The voice that speaks to the very core of your being that says, good job. Well done. And it feels so good to walk in God's pleasure. To have Him speak to us and then we respond and then He speaks back and says, good job. That feels so good that you don't even need to go out and brag about what you've done because you've already been rewarded. So what value is all of this? What's the value of knowing this or having it setting upon us, having it overwhelming us like it did to Joseph that day when he was trying to preach about the 23rd Psalm? The value is that it tells you that your life matters, that you are cared for, and that the purpose of your life is ordained by God to accomplish something important. There's not one of you that has been called. It's not one of you that is being led, that is not being called and led for something important. He leadeth me, not in circles, not in vain. He leads you to accomplish something with an eternal value. I'd like to do something just between us. If you would like to ask for God's blessing to help you to hear more clearly His voice in your life. Before we do the other things that we're going to do, I want to just stop right here and right now. We can pray together and ask God to help us to hear that voice, to hear His voice, that we know and we recognize it, that as He's calling and He's leading, that we know exactly who it is that's speaking to us. When He rebukes us, we know who that is. When He's encouraging us, we know who that is. If you'd like to pray and ask God's blessing upon you to help you to hear that voice a little more clearly, I ask you to come up and you can pray with me right here now. Come together and join hands. come right into the middle too, journalist. Let's pray together. Our loving Father, Lord, in this life it is so easy to become entangled in the weeds that creep over the path. It's so easy to have other voices being drowned out and the voices are clamoring about us, but we never want to have your voice shut off from us, that we can't hear your words of hope, words of encouragement, words of caution, and words of correction. Lord, I pray you please speak to each one of your children this morning. Help them to know how dearly loved they are by you, how precious they are, and how much their life matters, and that their purpose in this life is needed and that it's important. Father, I pray you'd please hold us up, each son, each daughter. Strengthen us, build us up, take care of all the needs that are about us. Lord, you know. You know the expenses, you know the pains, you know the illnesses, you know the fears. And Father, I pray you would calm and quiet all those things and put us in a steady place, green pastures, still water, and strengthen and heal, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.